Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and thank you for calling Truth Be Told. This is Kiana, and we have a special guest tonight with Santa Red. Let me get her on the line. My co-host is having trouble getting in. So give me 1 second to get that together. Sorry for the technical difficulties. It won't even let me play a song right now. 1 second.
I'm making it for people who just want to get lost.
It's just interesting how music does that. It will just, it's like a trap door.
It locks you. And and welcome to the Truth Be Told. It's Kiana and my co-host Raven Sky will be joining us in a second. We're having difficulties. I don't know if you guys are having difficulties when you called in. It's ringing, busy, and then when you get through it, it hang up. But I'm going to go ahead and read the synopsis of our first guest. Her name is Santa Red. And she just released her first novel, which is a memoir entitled Legally Branded. Let me read the synopsis real quick, and then I will bring her on the line.
Kiana D.
Yes, hey, Raven.
Girl, you know what? I'm sorry for my delay, and I haven't heard anything thus far because I just was able to get in. But I just want to say this real, real quick. Anybody that ain't never dealt with T-Mobile, don't deal with them. I am so sick of this company for the last month and a half because I called in this time from a house phone and it went straight through. And at first I was thinking it was Blog Talk, but now I'm realizing, no, it wasn't. It's T-Mobile. Ever since, now see, I fought myself because I let my daughter talk me into getting on this plan with her because she wanted one of those Notes or Samsungs or whatever they is. It's the worst carrier I have ever had. The worst. Okay, vent over.
Okay. I've got to read Shanna's synopsis to her book, and then I'm going to bring her on.
Okay.
Legally Branded is a memoir of Shoshana Wilson, a woman who survived a heroin-addicted mother and mentally abusive foster home. She was placed in over 21 foster homes between the ages of 12 and 18. This early life gave rise to self-identity issues, unhealthy relationships, and problems with education. However, Shoshana refused to give up. She fought to prevail and break through the labels and stereotypical prejudice that are applied to foster children. What became of the forgotten child, the children who are legally branded from the system, from the second they enter a system that doesn't always put them first? Will they be able to overcome the darkness that awaits them? Find out by taking a walk in Shoshana's shoes. Let me bring her on, because I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right either. Raven, it's not even letting me bring her on.
Let me see. Okay. You there, Shoshana?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, let's first get your name right, because we don't want to cut that up all night long if we're saying it wrong. Is it Shanna or Shoshana?
Shoshana.
Okay. Welcome.
And you know what? I've seen you pronounce, I read your book, and I remember, now that I can't say it, I remember at one point you sounded it out for somebody. And me, with my retarded self, should have paid attention to when you sounded it out in the book. But how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing great. Well, this is Kiana, and I have read your book, and I actually really, really enjoyed it. And I love the fact that you were so candid in it. You were really candid in it.
Thank you, Kiana.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm sorry?
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself first, and then we'll get into some questions.
Well, the book is about myself, so that's what I'm about. I was a school teacher. I'm no longer that. I've written a novel to... First, for therapy reasons, then to get the truth out, so it can help other people to evade or help them through whatever they're going through that seems really bad.
Okay. Did you always know that you were going to write a memoir? Did you always say you were going to write a memoir one day?
I said I was going to write one, but I never thought I would. I was like, I need to write a book. And so I read Cupcake Brown, A Piece of Cake, and she inspired me to write my own book.
Oh, okay.
Cupcake Brown. Where have I've heard that before? What was the name of her?
A piece of cake.
Okay. Okay. Sound familiar.
Mhm. Now, will you ever want to write in any other genres besides?
I was thinking somewhat in the rock era, you know, that genre. Because during my time in foster home or whatever, I have some stories to tell about that side. That's the only way I was able to deal with all the problems I was dealing with. So I'm going towards the rock genre.
Okay, so answer this for me, and this isn't a trick question, because everyone that I encounter, this is Raven, every author that I encounter that either writes erotica or talks about venturing into erotica, I always ask, because I haven't been able to, like, really get a definitive answer as to what does erotica mean? Like, what is the difference between erotica and just your average sex scene in a book? Like, you know, what is it about erotica that has intrigued you to possibly want to, you know, dibble and dabble with it a little bit?
My own experiences, I had some experiences that needs to be told so other women could not make that same mistake. I really don't know the difference between, like, a sex scene and erotica. I'm thinking, well, someone told me that my book is not erotica because I already written it already, and they say it's not erotica, it's more on the romance side,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot of sex scenes in it, so that's why I thought that it should be erotica, because it's a lot, it's not. Truth be told, if nothing, I'm not substituting any words, you know, like Miss Johnson or something like that. It is what it is.
Okay. So, who's your favorite author?
I like local authors. I have one in mind, his name is Tony Ramsey. He helped me to edit my book, and I read a couple of his books, and I love the way he writes. In the popular scene, I like James Frey. He wrote a million little pieces, even though he got caught in a lie saying that it's nonfiction, but it was fiction. I like how he writes because he took a 6-week adventure and turned into a book, and so it was very detailed.
Okay. And have you always thought about, I know you said that one of the reasons that you even wrote your book, because it was a story that needed to be told, but at a younger age, did you just know then that one day I'm going to be an author, I'm going to pen my own book?
No, I didn't. All I knew, I was writing my journal diaries all the time, you know, while I was in foster home, so that was my only outlet to vent while I was younger than other things that had happened.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you something. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I hear some music in the background. In one particular home that you was in, it was a little boy named Lance that used to hang you from the doors and
yes.
he would hang you and stuff like that.
Yes.
Were you scared to tell on him prior to running out the house that day?
Of course, I
you
was
never,
four.
Oh, you was four when I didn't realize you was still four at that time.
Yeah, I was four.
I didn't realize.
Wow. Now, do you ever see that family? Have you ever seen that family? Because you're still in Chicago, correct?
Right. Yeah, I see them, you know. I see them every once in a while when I feel like wanting to see them. The foster mother that I had, his auntie, she died. I don't know if I forgave them or I haven't forgot about it. But it affected me.
That was my next question. Has he ever, like, formally apologized to you now that you guys are an adult for any of that?
No. No.
Wow.
He probably, a lot of people that I wrote about in this book, they are not owning up to what they had done to me.
Okay.
Or
okay.
It's like, it's swept under the rug, but by me writing this book, I'm airing dirty laundry.
You know, that was going to be one of my questions because you are being so candid in the book. I was going to ask, you know, what was the reaction from, you know, people around you as far as you putting that down on paper? Because you know how the saying goes, especially in most black family structures or households, what goes on in this house stays in this house, which I think is the worst thing that you could ever tell a child. But
yeah.
Did you get any fallout from that? Like, you're putting our business out there.
The people that I know are not supporting me as far as, like, purchasing the book. Mainly my readers are strangers. So I'm kind of glad that they haven't or don't want to read the book. My mother, she is just now starting to read it, but she's going to deny everything, and I know it.
Okay, well, excuse me, I am so sorry. Something is caught up in my throat, but we have a caller that I want to go ahead and bring on before we roll into the next question. Is that cool, Kiana?
Yeah, go ahead. Most definitely. We love callers.
Yeah, we do. We love callers. And shout out to everybody else on the switchboard. If you want to speak with Shauna, or if you have a general question or anything like that, just press number one. So 6660, you are live on the air with Truth Be Told. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Last four digits, going once, going twice, 6660.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Raven and Kiana. This is Papaya. I'm calling from D.C.
Hey, Papaya.
Hey, Papaya. I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. I forgot to unmute it. Hi, Papaya. I was like, why they can't hear me?
I was thinking maybe you accidentally pressed one.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I was just calling to support Shauna on her first book, her memoir. I did publish the book, and when she came to me and I read, like, the first few chapters, I was like, oh, goodness, it's just like I wanted to read more of the book because the first three chapters, like, drew me in, and I wanted to know what happened. But I just want to say that all that you've been through, I'm just so glad that you finally, you know, got the help you need, and that you didn't let it stop you from pursuing on what you wanted to do, because some people don't have that willpower. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just let them fall. But I'm just so glad that, you know, God was with you and that he gave you that extra push to keep on and pushing on so you will be able to tell your story. And I know that you said that, you know, like your family – just now you said that some of your family that, you know, maybe some of the people that you were talking about not going to support because they not going to support. But that's just because, like, you airing the family laundry out or whoever. It might not have been family, but whoever laundry you have out. But that what you just said, that stuck with me today, because me and my sisters do a prayer call like every Thursday, and one of the things that she was saying is that you have to forgive. You know what I'm saying? Even though that you're not going to forget, but you have to forgive for your own self so you can move on. And exactly. And I think by you writing the book, it was also therapy. And that was how a way you was coming to terms with what happened. And, you know, you enjoying the life that you in now. And Raven asked my question I had, so I'm not going to ask the question. I was like,
what?
Hey.
What was your question?
It was how did I didn't forget now because I was so daggone fast.
How everybody did she get any fallout or else received it?
Because you know like how some people read it and they be like, are you talking about me in that book? Because by she had to change the name, you know, for different purposes. But I'm just so proud of you. I see you doing your thing as a new author, and just keep doing what you're doing, and your book will be successful because it's just a great book to be a memoir, and I just wish you the best in your writing career.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'll continue to listen.
It is a great book, Papaya. Glad you published it. It is a great book. I read it. It was really, really good.
Thank you, Kiana. I know it took a long time, but you know me. I'm a perfectionist, and I want it to be, you know how I am. But also, by this being her first book, you know, as an author, your first book is that impression for readers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, all right, I'm going to shut up now.
You don't have to.
Oh, I'm gonna move my phone because the dog's barking there.
Okay, well, I'll just keep you in the queue. You mute your phone, and whenever you want to jump back in, then just come on.
Okay, thank you.
Mhm.
Thanks, Papaya.
Okay. So, Shauna, what's gonna be your follow up to this book?
You talking about the title or a genre?
Or just what you're working on now?
It's called Waterways. It's about, I call it a psychotic, erotic tale. But, I've been working on that, and it's not as many pages, but it's kind of... it's kind of crazy. It's kind of, somebody told me it was crazy, but it was a good book.
Like stalker chick crazy?
No, not stalker, but this chick gets into a relationship with her therapist, and just like I've been inspired by Shonda Rhimes. You know how she put a twist in there, and you don't know where it's coming from, but it's things that leads up to that twist. So I kind of took reality and twisted into something that's crazy.
Okay.
Okay. I got a question from Legally Branded. Do you ever still see Monday? Monday was a cool girl.
Yes. No,
I like
him. I did too. I haven't seen any of those people. Most of those people I haven't seen in decades.
Okay. Now the one you wrote about the lady that had you guys in the basement with no windows or nothing, nobody ever reported her for having y'all in the basement with no windows or no TVs or anything?
Well, back in the day, the foster child was just somebody who didn't have a mouthpiece. I was the one who was like, would say something every once in a while, or I figured don't nobody listen to us, so why say anything? But no, she didn't have, it was like little small windows, but it's enough to see people's feet as they walk outside on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was like almost the worst one foster home I was in. That was the worst one I was in.
Okay, and I noticed you had a very large weed, a marijuana habit, too, at a young age. You were smoking a pound
yes.
a day? A pound
That's
a day?
Not a pound. I couldn't take a pound, but I had to have my weed every day because that's how I dealt with my situation, weed and sex.
What's your relationship with Carl like now?
It's shaky because we lost all those years together. And so my brother, he has anger issues, and me, I'm trying to do something positive, so it's not like how I want it.
Okay. Now, the sister that got taken away at birth, did you ever get to find her, the one that was born addicted to the heroin?
That was my brother.
The brother. I'm sorry, your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried looking for him, but they wouldn't give me his number to the people that adopted him. They did everything else except gave me his number.
Now, seeing that this is a memoir, what was the hardest part that you had to write? At what point in the book did you have to just, like, throw your pen down or walk away from the computer and go and cry your eyes out and regroup?
It was this part where I totally forgot it was the haunted house, this group home I was in. When that surfaced up, okay, I had to close my laptop and take a break. It was the group home that I had ran away from, and the girls jumped on me. I totally forgot all about that because I've been through so much. But when I started writing and came across that, that's when I had to stop writing.
You know, your book sounds like it has the makings of a great Lifetime movie.
It does,
oh,
Raven.
Yeah.
You got to read it,
yeah.
Raven. It does. I could see it. If not on Lifetime, do you remember when we were younger they had the after school specials?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
one of them. When you finally went and as far as going through the abortion, let me ask you that first. You went through, I know that you could have seen it here when you went through the abortion and you went on your own. That had to be rough. You were only 16, I think.
Yes.
That had to be rough to not be able to, you know, you did all of it on your own. You never told anybody, not even your friend that you smoked with. What was her name? Sharon? What was your friend's name? I forget her name, too.
I forget, but yeah, I had to go through that by myself. I knew I didn't want to have a baby because my friend Brenda, she had a baby at 12 or 13, one of them. So I didn't want to be the same way. So I just decided that was the right decision.
Okay. So now, have you ever sat down and had to talk with your mother and to, you know, like why, you know, about everything that went on as an adult? Have you sat down and had a chance to have to talk with your mother?
I tried, but my mother, when I talked to her, she turns it around and makes her out to be a victim. And I don't want to hear that. I want to hear I wanted to hear the truth, but now I don't want to hear anything because it happened. It happened. It kind of destroyed me, but I guess I just have to keep on finding ways to deal with it, because it still affects me. I'm not even going to lie. It still affects my life.
Okay. Okay. Now, do you currently go to church now? I know you had one foster home that just like forced church on you. Do you regularly attend church now?
Yes, I go to church every Sunday. I go because it humbles me. It's positive, you know. It's positive messages, and that's what I need.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what's the lesson that you want everybody to take away from your book? If you had, like, saying this, yeah, what's the lesson you would want everybody to take away from your book?
That no matter what situation that you are in, if you have a goal set in your mind, there's always a way to get to it.
Yeah. Where there is a will,
no matter what your background is or whatever, if you want to do something, you can do it.
Okay. And it's sort of piggyback. I'm sorry, Raven, if I'm being greedy.
No. You're fine. Go ahead.
To sort of piggyback off that question, today in 2015, if I was to tell you tomorrow, I would like for you to speak with a group of teenage girls who are currently in the foster care or at a group home or something, what would you tell them? What would you say to them?
Although it feels like no one wants you or loves you, God loves you, and get outside help. You know, there's always like youth centers, people like that are willing to take time to give you positive feedback.
This is true. Yes. I had seen something the other day that is so fitting right now, and because I wholeheartedly believed it, and I also shared it on Facebook, and it says, and I had to go back and look at it just so I could quote it right, but God uses broken people like you and me to rescue broken people like you and me. So I think it was not only your destiny, it was designed, not that what happened to you was your fault in any way, but it also gave you a testimony to help someone else. And I think that's something, if nothing else, positive you can take away from this. I can't even imagine going through some of the things that you went through, endured, and overcame. So kudos to you for that. And not only that, but for you to, you know, put yourself out there like that. You know, it's hard in any way, shape, or form to be vulnerable for other people, let alone strangers. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you had some reservations, like, what is my mama going to think? Or what is this person going to think? But you did it anyway, and that takes courage, because a lot of people suffer in silence and just, you know, some people succumb to the pain and can't deal with it and make other choices. So, like Papaya said, I'm glad that you were one of those ones that I'm not going to let this define who I am and what I am going to be for the rest of my life. Yes, that's part of my past, but it doesn't have to be my story forever and a day. So,
right.
I thank you for sharing your story, because it's even I always look at things like that as, even if it helps just one person, then you have done your service, because that's what we're all supposed to be to each other anyway, of service. And if it were more people like that in this world, then we wouldn't have a lot of things that are going on now. So I haven't read it, but listening to, Kiana, you know, because she's not one of those ones that's just going to say something is good or whatever if it's not. You know, she's just that candid. She's a true avid reader. But just, you know, some of the topics that we touched on tonight, and just hearing an overall overview of the book. I'm definitely going to check it out, and I leave reviews.
Well, I appreciate it.
No problem. Now,
would you ever write a part two of to your memoir, like where you are now, about your life now?
Yes, I plan on doing that. Right now, I'm going through some changes right now. When I overcome that, then I can start writing my part two.
Okay. Okay, and if anyone that's on the line has any questions for Shauna or just want to say hello, then press 1. If not, continue to listen, and thank you for joining us tonight.
In your opinion, Shauna, what do you think is missing in the literary world right now?
The truth. People don't write exactly the way things are. They're too concerned about what people think. And that's kind of when I was shopping around for an editor, like my dialogue has Ebonics in it because that's how we spoke. And they was like, you sure you want to put this? You sure? Because I've never seen this like this before. I was like, that's how we spoke broken English, and that's how it's going to be written. So the realistic part.
Now, I did notice that in your dialogue. I will say that I did notice that in your dialogue. Even the way y'all said her was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a minute to catch on because y'all didn't say her. Y'all said, when you look at it, you would think it said huh, but it's her. You're saying her.
Right.
I get what you're saying. Okay. It took me a minute, but I understood what you were saying. But and
I don't like her.
that's how you said it. But everybody, I mean, I thought in editing you don't mess with dialogue anyway.
I was about to say, what editor told you? Now, I mean, I could see if it was in the narrative, but that's the one place
right.
You do want to see it, because I can't stand to read a book and it's slang in the narrative, because that's just not where it's supposed to go. And if you're someone that, depending on where you live, because I moved from Virginia to Georgia about 3 years ago, and coming
mm-hmm.
here was almost like a culture shock because they did sound different. Even though the further up north I would go if I was traveling or something, they would say, oh, you from the south, you got a little twang to you. But no, coming here, they have a twang, a serious one. So if I was to, if someone is writing a character that they really want them to know that they're not saying her the proper way, it's her, then that's
mm-hmm.
that's the way you're supposed to do it. So I'm glad you moved mm-hmm. on from that editor.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I've never seen it before. You sure you? I was like, you have to leave it like that. I won't accept that. That's
and it wasn't
good for you. Good for you.
Right,
staying around. Huh?
Right. It wasn't a narrative, too.
Oh, okay.
And
they,
you don't know, yeah. But in the dialogue, you did have a lot of Ebonics. But hey, that's how people talk. You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
You said it was in a narrative.
Yeah, the book was in a narrative.
Ebonics was in the narrative.
No,
okay.
Not
I,
Ebonics.
I made. Okay.
No. No.
Okay. I made sure that didn't happen.
Where do you see your literary career in the next 5 years?
I see me working on my fourth book by then. Hopefully, it'll be some type of a playwright, something in that era.
Okay. I think that's most of, you said you want to work on a play?
Yeah, since, like I said, my dialogue was, broken and everything, and I was told that I'm a storyteller, so I don't know. That's why I see it, you know, playwright, movie.
Okay. If that's something
if
definitely
that's
to shoot
going,
for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, have you, I know your book is in paperback also.
Yes.
Have you been out pushing your paperback? You know, nothing's
yes,
like,
I
nothing
have.
Deep.
Yes, I have. It's not easy because a lot of people are not reading, I would say, but there are some people that are supporting me.
And you're in Chicago, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of readers in Chicago, and there's actually a couple of events coming up where they're not, like doing – where they have tables and they're doing book signings and stuff. You just got to get out there and, you know, you got to hit them grocery stores. You got to hit them gas stations. I see a lot on my timeline. I see a lot of books sold at the grocery store and at the gas station.
Okay.
At those places.
Which do you prefer?
I was just wondering how I can get my book in libraries and Barnes and Noble.
Which do you prefer, ebooks or paperbacks?
Paperbacks. Because you can feel it. It's like you hold it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm a paperback lover too myself, actually. I'm a paperback lover. But, you know, you could go to your local library, you know, in your area. And you can let them know that you're an author and, you know, this is my book and see, you know, and talk to them about getting your book in the system in your area. That's how I know most new authors start off. You know,
my publisher will have to do that.
Listen, honey, let me tell you something. Your publisher is just that, your publisher. Your publisher's not going to, I'm not saying they're not going to promote you. They will promote you, but nobody's going to promote you like you. You have to get out there. You have to promote yourself. You know, Jackie Collins, God rest her soul, she was signed with the major, but you still found Jackie Collins on Facebook and sending out email blasts promoting herself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get out there. The publisher is just that, your publisher. They're not your promoter. And that, yes, they will promote your stuff
mm-hmm.
whenever they can, but it's really up to you. Somebody gave me that advice. Nobody's
right.
going to promote
mm-hmm.
nothing. Nobody's going to go hard. No, promote your stuff harder than you. Nobody's going to do nothing better than you. But it is up to you. You have to promote yourself.
Yep. That is true.
Yeah, I was told.
You was told what?
I said just, sorry. I was told the same thing you just said. But I've been, a lot of people say I'm doing well with marketing my book.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I wish you much continued success, and I hope you sell a million books.
Ooh, thank you.
And never forget that as an author, it is your job to promote yourself, to brand yourself. Don't ever forget that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, tell of our listeners where they can find you at for contact information.
Shauna Redd, on Facebook, Shauna Red One on Instagram. My book is on Amazon, and I'm also on Twitter.
And Shauna Red?
Red Shauna.
Red Shauna, okay.
Okay. And everybody listening, if you haven't read Legally Branded, I'm telling you, it's a great read. It's a really great read that you must go read it. You must go get it. Get on Amazon and get it. If you're in the Chicago area, hit her up for them paperbacks.
Yeah,
thank
and
you,
I'm
Shauna.
Definitely gonna check it out. And like I said, I do leave reviews. And once again, wish you much more continued success. And thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you everybody for who called in or who were just listening. We appreciate the love. We know it's a Friday night. You could have been anywhere else, but you were here with us, and that's love. Kiana D, I guess I get with you Monday morning, bright and early.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
Bright and early.
Thank you again.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Papaya, for calling in and hanging with us to the end.
Yes.
You're welcome.
All right. Y'all have a great weekend. And tune in with us on Monday morning for some more Truth Be Told. Well, actually, it's some Truth in the AM, and we're going to have plenty of it. Kiana, holla.
Holla.
All right, I'm going to take us out with my favorite new song.
I
know people
going to
be like, I wish
they'd
upload some more music, huh?
Thanks to Fabiola, you're going to wear that song out.
I sure am. I love this song. All right, y'all, we gone.
In grade school, outblasting my outcast. And now I'm past, I'm running to catch a route pass. Give me a pen and a pad, I'm trying to outlast all of my idols. American in the foreign arts. Before the foreign cars and the foreign bars. Money, sex, drugs, and the foreign arts. All this kidding, look where the body's at. All this money, where the Bugatti's at. But dig a little deeper, and you find another insecure man sitting in a two-seater. The same little boy that got beat up. Tell it came to the past, you can bring up. Nobody ever told him that he could be more than he is, but inside he's a leader. Yeah. I didn't know who was inside me either. Striving to be the captain, hoping I could date a cheerleader. Trying to get me a throne of my own so I could put my feet up. Thank God my kingdom was overthrown by the soul redeemer. Yeah, Nama. Deviation from the common rule. Something or somebody that's abnormal and doesn't fit in. I say that's exactly what we are. We are the odds. The outcast, the peculiar, the strangers, they say, we don't fit in, but I say we are exactly who God created us to be.
Anomaly.
The system didn't plan for this.
Anomaly.